Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Nick is off here on this Wednesday. Mark Melusis with you, along with obviously Ken Barkley. It is You Better You Bet, BetQL Audio Network. We have Drew Dinsick with us at @whale_capper on Twitter, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast. And he's with us and gracious enough to give us two segments. Spent the first segment talking about the NFL draft, and we're going to transition talk a little NBA.
Yeah, it should be really fun. Well, thank you again for sticking around for the through the break, through the longish break. I know you're used to doing podcasts where you just talk for 2 hours at a time. In this case, we had a 15 take a break, 15 again. But I think the place to start here is where Moose and I started the first hour, and it's trying to take these two pieces of news, of player injury news, which is James Harden's setback with his hamstring, back to square one, I think was the quote that Steve Nash had last night, where we don't know when we're going to see James Harden again. Maybe it's the start of the playoffs, maybe it's not. So we have that piece of news. Then we also have Anthony Davis returning tomorrow, and LeBron weeks away, but still seems like before the playoffs. And I think with all of this swirling news with Harden and Davis and LeBron, the question is, can we filter any of this to make a betting decision, whether it's a futures betting decision, maybe it's a single game decision, coming up in the near future, but really like conference and title odds, does any of this make you want to make a bet on something?
The Harden news makes me want to find the bottom on the futures price for the Nets in the East. All of this swirling injury to their key players, Durant and Harden, has felt somewhat timely. To put it nicely, I guess the schedule, the grind of this season has been unbelievable. Like some of the compressed minutes and that they are asking these players to play has really been tough, and you're seeing the wear and tear manifest in ways that we didn't expect. I think there are really only a handful of guys who have been able to manage the load effectively. Guys like, Jokic, and that's obviously why he's kind of at the top of the MVP discussion beyond just his unbelievable offensive season that we're seeing. You look at the likes of the Nets, it reminds me a lot of the second Warriors team that won a title. I mean, that team really limped into the gate. A lot of guys were hurt. A lot of guys were missing time. They had no chemistry. People were pointing and scratching their heads and asking questions like, I know this team is the best, but, are we sure they're just going to be able to flip the switch? I mean, 538 had their championship odds at like 5%. I mean,
right. And that was the Curry injury, right, Will? I don't mean to interrupt, but that was the year. Curry, that was the year where we didn't know whether he was going to come back. And then he came back against Portland in the first round. I want to say like game four, hit a bunch of threes. And that's the really famous shot of him doing like, I'm back when he's on the court. But we didn't really know when Curry was going to come back entering that season. So sorry, I cut you off, but just, I remember very vividly the injury stuff we were dealing with.
Yeah, and now granted that year they probably should have lost to the Rockets. That was a somewhat improbable win, but they end up going on and flipping the switch to the degree that they were, at the top level of NBA teams, equal to a little bit better than the Rockets, in my opinion. They did it with virtually no prep, no dress rehearsal. They just flipped the switch. And I think that the Nets, and considering the experience you have with your top three players in Durant, Irving, and Harden, this is the exact blueprint for that. And they're in an Eastern Conference where, well, if you really want to take a contrarian opinion to the Nets, you have a tough task finding a team that really meets, checks all the boxes in terms of being able to actually make a run come playoff time. I will go down with the ship going against the Sixers probably in the playoffs. I just, their second unit is so anemic offensively, and really just you take a beat off the floor. Like that offense is hot garbage, and they're going to run into problems up against any other, you know, elite offensive team come playoff time. And let's say that they do play the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals and they do play them well, it's still going to go to Game 7. Are you trusting Doc Rivers to snap his funk in Game 7s against the likes of the Brooklyn Nets? No way. So it is pretty easy for me to dismiss the Sixers being able to put it together in the playoffs and you move down the chart. Milwaukee Bucks, they're all of a sudden going to put it together. Mike Budenholzer has shown us this season he's learned nothing. All of the defensive mistakes that we saw this team making in the bubble last year have been exacerbated during the regular season this year. And the likelihood that they run up against a tough opponent in the same way that they ran up against the Heat last year, the Heat put together the blueprint to take the Bucks out of the playoffs. You shut them down in transition. You take away some of their transition opportunities, make their offense that much more difficult, and then bomb away from three. And if your shooters are hitting, you're going to win those games. And I think the Bucks are going to be unceremoniously upset at some point during this playoff run in the same fashion. And then once you're past the Sixers and the Bucks, you're talking about teams that really are kind of lacking an elite scorer, somebody that can go toe-to-toe and fill it up late in games against the likes of the Nets. So it's pretty clear to me that the Nets are your Eastern Conference, like something like, say, probably 65-70% likelihood that they win the Eastern Conference by my numbers. And I'm hopeful that that they struggle a little bit with all these injuries out and people are worried about Harden coming back. And then we can kind of fire some nukes on some favorable prices for them to win the East.
You know, Drew, similar nature, how about out West, with the return now in short order of Anthony Davis, LeBron still on the shelf, but what about the Lakers here, the defending NBA champs?
Yeah, I have a decent amount of Lakers to win the West already at some bad numbers, so my opinion is a little jaded here. I'll be doing the hopium this weekend, watching Anthony Davis against the Mavericks tomorrow and again on Saturday. But I think they've planned this well. Again, I think it's relatively orchestrated. And I mean, you look across the whole league right now, like this last month is going to be ugly. There is not going to be a lot of competitive basketball that is played. Guys like Kawhi are getting breaks as well. I mean, it's time to give your guys some serious rest, be it from injury or just being careful in getting them ready for a playoff stretch. And I'm cautiously optimistic that Anthony Davis was kept out an extra month just in case, because it was, a calf injury. They didn't want to introduce the potential for an Achilles injury. And they're bringing him back against the Mavericks, for two games against the Mavericks, which makes perfect sense to me, because the Mavericks are a team that refuses to push it in transition. And so you're not going to really have to worry about him, having a missed three, like scrambling to get back on defense and all of a sudden, taking a major step backwards. So I think you're going to see a pretty decent minute load for Anthony Davis the next couple of games, and then maybe a couple, game on, game off the rest of the way down the stretch. And then LeBron James is, he's a Terminator. He's on another level as far as his physical fitness. And I wouldn't expect that a high ankle sprain is going to impact him whatsoever come late May. And so the Lakers still are the team to beat in the Western Conference, in my opinion. I can point to significant flaws with the playoff suitability of a team that like the Jazz, a team like the Suns, and then the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. I think they were kind of on the bubble with the Clippers and the Lakers as a potential Western Conference contender. But at this point, their season is kind of revolving around, getting Jokic the MVP and, packing it up and getting ready for next season when hopefully Murray is 100%. So I think Western Conference is going to come down to the Clippers and the Lakers. Hopefully those teams don't run into each other until the Western Conference Finals. That would be the most entertaining Western Conference Finals by far. But I'd really have a tough time making a case for anyone else in the West, unless there's, a major injury setback for Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard.
So, Will, those are kind of like the macro big picture. Obviously, we went through each conference, Nets, Lakers, what to do with kind of the news. Sounds like you have some positions on, I think, not surprisingly, like the expected dominant, winning teams that we expect to come out of those conferences and a wait and see approach on Brooklyn. Let's kind of do a micro approach here. We got about 5 minutes to go and kind of go through some single game angles. We have you know, it's fun to talk about futures and it's fun to talk about the playoffs. There are also like 300 games left this season, which we can bet on in some form or fashion, provided we know anything about who's playing. You know, I'm curious in this period of time, let's call it, you know, like March 15th to now or something like that, last like month or so, where everything's kind of been the same, right? Ton of injuries. You mentioned the compressed minutes and how that's kind of taken its toll. It's kind of looked the same here for about a month. Has there been anything of value that you've noted, whether it's fatigue or bad versus bad matchups or the opposite to contending teams and you play a game a certain way? Any betting angles that you've used in the last like month or so that you've considered to be really valuable in this really weird season?
Yeah, I will say without question, the month of March, March 2021 will go down as the worst betting month I've had. And it was almost all NBA. That P&L was just unbelievably poor. And I looked back over my results a dozen times now in April, trying to figure out what went wrong. What do I would have done differently? What was happening? And I really can't come up with a solid answer whatsoever. So I don't know what was going on in March, but everything has turned around positive for me in April. And a couple of things that I've been picking on. If you have a team that is in the Tankapalooza mess right now, and they give you an honest effort on a given night, I'm prepared to fade that team next time out at any price. There has been a sort of a huge motivational letdown when a team has, you know, put up an honest effort on a given night against you, maybe against a contending team, maybe against another team in the dregs. And, you know, the next time those guys, you know, take, you know, the next time those guys show up for a game, they don't get off the bus. And it has been wildly profitable so far in April. I'm hopeful that this kick carries on down the stretch because you'll get like four or five of these a week. You know, I think to a degree, when a team that's in the, you know, the lottery mix wins a game, you know, the coaching staff decides, okay, well, we may, you know, they're going to surprise, you know, change up their minutes, their rotation. They're going to give some of the second tier guys a little bit more run. You know, they can't afford to win too many games and put themselves out of a potential lottery pick, considering that they really don't have much of a chance of making the playoffs this year. So I do think that's kind of the right way to approach, you know, tanking teams, not just assume a team is going to tank every time, but kind of look for spots where you can zig against them if they're playing well. Also when you have two relatively, you know, good contending teams, sort of the traditional handicap has been super effective. Handicapping fatigue has been huge. Handicapping, you know, player injury, player absence, and what that player means to a given team has been huge. Looking for specific matchups in terms of how teams are playing, style of play, what adjustments they can make from game to game has been very effective. I mean, we're seeing coaching matter a lot. Got to give Tom Thibodeau a shout out in that regard. You know, I did not at all expect the Knicks to do this season, to be a top contending team. And, you know, in a game like last night, they're losing to the Hornets by 6 at halftime. And, you know, Thibodeau made some unbelievably smart adjustments to the team defense the Knicks were playing at halftime. They come out and they hold the Hornets to something like 31 points in the second half of that game after conceding 66 in the first. It was pretty impressive to watch. I think, you know, the teams that are kind of bought in right now and have, you know, relatively decent coaches, at least coaches who are making smart adjustments, are teams that I'm backing more frequently.
You know, Drew, with all that being said, we have about 2 minutes here left. What do you like tonight on the NBA slate?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The slate is extremely tough tonight.
What about the Knicks? Hottest team in the league against the second hottest team in the league. Crazy.
Yeah, this is your future potential 4-5 matchup. You know, if the playoffs started today, this is your 4-5 in the Eastern Conference. As insane as that is to say, I like the Knicks in this spot. The market has moved against me. It's flipped to Atlanta as a small favorite, but really Atlanta only has one elite wing defender, and it's DeAndre Hunter. And Hunter is going to be out for this game, and I think that's going to hurt them. You've seen the Knicks, you know, you've seen a massive growth and explosion from Julius Randle and RJ Barrett under the tutelage of Tom Thibodeau this year. And I think it's going to be tough for Atlanta's defense to stack up against a New York team that is absolutely playing with confidence right now. I think, in addition to just the coaching, you know, tweaks that Thibodeau made last night for New York, I really think the crowd at MSG elevated that team to a degree. It felt like it, at least. I mean, maybe I'm projecting, but I do think, you know, with a little bit of a crowd, the, you know, the Knicks are playing at home. You got to tweak your home court advantage. I mean, I've been playing basically zero all season, and now I'm starting to introduce a little bit more. So I think the Knicks are a bet on. I took Golden State at -2. This is, again, a fascinating handicap because you have Steph Curry and Bradley Beal, your top two scorers in the league. Both of them, I would expect, care about getting that scoring title this year, considering how their seasons have gone. So you're going to get a lot of offense in this one. But I like the Warriors at -2, mostly just because they know what to do in the fourth quarter in terms of putting the ball in Russell Westbrook's hands. Like, you know, hey
Drew.
Force him. Yep. Good.
Yeah, we're flat out of time. We got about 15 seconds left in the segment. Fantastic. We appreciate it. Thanks. Good luck with all your plays tonight. All right, Drew?
Oh, of course. Best luck, guys.
You got it. That's Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper. Hit him up on Twitter. It's Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, of course. You better, you bet. BetQL Audio Network.